Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by Douglas, a mattress that is trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. It's a great mattress at a very reasonable price point. Comes with a 20-year warranty and a great deal for our listeners. Douglas is giving you a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. That is douglas.ca/CanadaLand. Hey, I need you to pay close attention to this message. It is not an ad. This is about Canada Land, and this is about you. You need to know that the news crisis is about to get a lot worse. You've heard about the layoffs. We're about to have news closures. And it's very likely that we're going to be seeing the defunding of the CBC. Where are you going to get your information from? What can you do about this? You can support Canada Land. We need you to. And so for this month and this month only, you can become a Canada Land supporter and get everything our supporters get for just $2 a month. That is an almost 80% discount. The clock is ticking on this. It disappears at the end of the month, and then we will not offer it. We need your support. We need to keep news coverage alive in Canada. Go right now to canadaland.com/join. And thank you.
Too Asian? Yeah, I don't know how to inflect there. You know what I'm talking about. That was the super classy headline to a Maclean's article back in 2010 that was looking at Asian students in Canadian universities. It was actually not. It was actually told from the perspective of white students in Canadian universities. It was the heartwarming tale of two Havergal students, two girls at an elite private school here in Toronto who were looking at their options for post-secondary education and finding their choices just way too Asian. There were too many of these Asian kids making it hard academically. They were tough to compete with. They were no fun to party with. The story offended many people, largely because it was very offensive. And it was widely condemned by most, not by Margaret Wente and Barbara Kay, who argued that at least this opens up the conversation. It was a conversation starter about international students in Canada. After all, this is a huge thing. There are almost 300,000 international students studying in Canada. The universities and the government are working to double those numbers in the years ahead. And the argument was, let Maclean's off the hook here. At least they got us talking about this. I'm not sure that they did. I've been Googling the coverage of international students in Canada since the Maclean's controversy, and the effect that it seems to have had is to make our news organizations really, really careful to say nice and positive things about international students in Canada and just how great the whole situation is. National Post headline, Canadian schools home to the world. Globe and Mail piece about how Canadian schools are helping international students to fit in. CBC, foreign student fees in Canada, competitive. And Maclean's revisited the topic to ask a different question than too Asian. The new question was, how do international students feel about Canada? And the answer to that question, Maclean's found, pretty great. They feel pretty great about Canada. And I have to admit, I did not really question those stories. I basically accepted the picture that they paint, which is that this is, you know, it's a win-win situation. You've got a rising middle class in China and India. You've got parents who want to give their kids the best and finally have a little bit of money to do so. And we have first-rate universities and colleges here in Canada, internationally respected institutions. And so why not? It's really good for the cash-strapped universities because they charge 2 to 4 times as much for these international students as they are able to charge in tuition from Canadians. So, you know, good for us and good for these international students who now have access to the fun undergraduate experience that we spoiled kids enjoy here in North America and leave with credentials that are going to help them in their careers. That made sense to me, and it's not a topic that I really gave a lot of second thought to. So why am I Googling it now? Why am I talking about it now? It's because of an email I recently received from a Canada Land listener, Avanish Agarwal, who tells a very different story of what it's actually like to be an international student studying here in Canada. I had never heard before the things that Avanish was telling me about what it's like for him and people like him. And I actually realized that I had never heard this story told from the point of view of the international student. And I wanted to hear that story, so I invited him here. And the guy, I mean, first of all, he's just kind of a fascinating dude. And the stuff he told me just totally changed how I think about this topic. And you're going to hear that all in a moment.
This episode is brought to you by the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, CAMH. We hear a lot about the opioid crisis. We talk a lot about the mental health crisis. These are serious problems. These problems affect us all. They've affected my life and my community. They are not intractable problems. I don't know what's going to solve them on a policy level, but day-to-day, helping people, that's what CAMH does. They do it on the ground when people need help, and they do it through research. The team at CAMH gave our team a tour of their facilities, and we were really just blown away by the incredible, heroic work that they're doing every day. They treat everyone with dignity, and their research is seeking and finding real solutions for everyone around the world. Help change mental health care forever. Your support will help CAMH build a future where no one is left behind. Donate at CAMH.ca/CanadaLand to help CAMH treat addiction and build hope. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's amazing the things that we tell ourselves to talk ourselves out of getting help. Anybody who's actually gotten help knows that the process of getting things off your chest, of taking your stressors, your problems, and just like not letting them be bottled up, working through just conveying them to somebody, half of the battle is just doing that. You unburden yourself. And you know what? If you have a real mental health professional, no, they don't have magic bullets or magic words that make it all go away. But often they can help you see things a little bit differently and guide you to strategies or tools or to a new perspective that actually does help. As the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Because you listen to this podcast, you get 10% off of your first month at BetterHelp.com/CanadaLand. That's BetterHelp.com/CanadaLand.
It's a new year, so why not get your shit together? Why not start using FreshBooks.com, my exclusive sponsor, who provide painless billing, cloud accounting. If you're a small business, if you're a contractor, if you're a freelancer, if you're like me, then use this thing to get your affairs in order, to bill your clients, to keep track of who owes you what, of how much you made, to make the whole process easy and organized and take a lot less of your time. Check them out, FreshBooks.com. Where are you from?
I'm from India, Mumbai.
How old are you?
I'm 24.
A lot of international students here, the tuition is so high.
Yeah.
It seems like it's people who come from some means and some affluence back home. I'm just curious where you're coming from.
Yeah. So, no, my mom is a professor. She teaches at Mumbai, University of Mumbai. And my dad has his own business. If I ask for the money, they can afford my education. But honestly, my background is more orthodox family. From age of 21, I haven't asked anything from my mom and dad.
Yeah.
Because their concept is Avanish should join family business, and he should do the family business and take ahead the family business.
What's the family business?
Handicrafts. We have a factory in Rajasthan, Jaipur, So we manufacture and we export.
Uh-huh.
So they were opposed me working in the beverage industry. They didn't want it from the beginning that, okay, you should not work this. It's related to alcohol and Hinduism doesn't say this and that. But I got away from all the stuff that all the traditions that they say.
Conservative and traditional
everything,
expectations.
Everything.
Professional, you know.
Yeah.
All right, I'll summarize some of your background stuff for our listeners. You told me earlier that you started a business, a beverage consultancy in Mumbai, and that is ongoing, and you continue to manage it with your partners through your iPhone, and that pays for your education. And you first left it to go to Germany to do what?
Food and beverage assistant manager.
But you ended up coming back to Mumbai after Germany.
Yeah. I ended up coming back to Mumbai, well, because of a girlfriend.
Okay.
So, yeah, she was like, no, you have to come back, and if you're staying far away always.
But now you're here, so what happened with that?
No, she got married. When I went back to Mumbai, within 2 or 3 months, it was a heck of a story. Then she was like, no, you're not giving me time, you're a changed person and stuff like that.
That's rough, man. Yeah. You came back from Germany for her.
Yeah, for her, and then, yeah.
Sorry to hear that.
That's okay. It's a past.
And you had already gotten your bachelor degree in Mumbai studying food and beverage industry.
Well, basically, I have done this. Most of the subjects that they're offering, I have already done it. I got exemption from the most of the subjects. I have the education one level up from this, but just to add on, and I wanted to know North American industry, how it works.
Let me try to understand this because you have an actual university degree in this field.
Yeah.
Yet you decide to come to Canada years later.
Yes.
To study at a diploma level.
Yeah.
Probably with people younger than you.
Yeah.
And to pay how much a year to do so?
$13,350.
Whatever that is, to a Canadian working at, you know, Canadian wages, it's much more for somebody coming from.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It is much more.
So
exactly.
Why would you do that?
See, because I wanted to learn more about North American market, as I mentioned before.
Yeah.
North American market is, they say, second or third largest market in the whole world. Like the alcohol consumption and most of the brands comes from North America and America.
Do you want to learn more about the North American market or do you want to work in North America?
I wanted to learn, and in order to learn more, you have to work. You know, this
But what I'm asking is, are you trying to take that knowledge home with you to build your business in Mumbai? Or I think that there are a lot of people who come and maybe overpay for education here because it's a way, a foot in the door to live and work and be a resident of Canada.
What I'm trying is, I'm trying to pull my company over here.
Yeah.
What I saw over here is, you go to a Jack Astor's, you order a mojito, you get a half lime without muddled, nothing else, just dropped it in the glass. Come on, you're paying money, and why are you drinking that shit?
Well,
I'm trying to improve it, improve their cocktails, improve their industry standards.
Are they teaching anything you didn't know at George Brown?
In bartending, it's just basic, simple, classic cocktails. That's it.
I know a lot of people who, when they were trying to make it as an actor or something, they took a bartending night course so they can make some cash as a bartender.
Cocktail movie.
This is not where you're coming from.
This is not where I'm coming from.
You're thinking about this on a kind of entrepreneurial level.
Exactly.
And you want to break into the North American restaurant industry.
Exactly.
And live and work in North America.
So I got a strategy for doing this. When I came over here, I was having nothing.
Yeah.
No contacts, no backup, nothing. One of my friend, Murat, we started this thing on Instagram called as a Food Toronto.
What's it called?
Food Toronto.
Food Toronto on Instagram.
On Instagram. If you feature most hip and trendy restaurants in Toronto, across all over the Toronto GTA area, every day a new picture from a new restaurant. In the beginning, we used to visit ourselves and click pictures and put it on the Instagram. Now I get more than 2,500 hashtags every day. And people who are going outside to eat, dine, they click pictures, they send it to us. We select from the best. And every day, 11 at the morning, we post a new picture. And we have more than 6,700 followers in a duration of 5 months.
So why did you get in touch with me?
I got in touch with you to discuss the problems that international students are facing.
Okay, like what?
Yeah, like people are coming from middle-class background, lower-class background, and they are taking bank loans now. So before it was bank loan, now you have to make a GIC certificate, guaranteed investment certificate with Canadian bank. $10,000 you have to deposit before you come over here. Plus, you have to pay your tuition fee. That is another 1 year fee you have to pay in advance.
So what was it again?
13,000.
13,000 in advance.
Yeah. So 23,000 is advance, which goes right behind your pocket before even you come here.
Yeah.
Right. Then you come here, then you hunt down for the accommodation. Now there is another story behind this. Colleges don't help you out at all. There are student services, are just for the namesake.
Yeah. In Indian currency, I have to imagine you have to put a small fortune down.
It's a big fortune, actually. $1 is equal to, in Indian currency today, it's 61.70 rupees.
Uh-huh.
So it's 61 times expensive.
Yeah. I mean, you have to be reasonably wealthy or go into debt.
Or your credit has to be good in the bank so that they can offer you loan for GIC.
Do you have roommates?
Yeah, I have roommates, yes.
And you're up at Don Mills and?
Shepherd.
Don Mills and Shepherd.
Yeah, just next to Fairview Mall, there are apartments.
And you come downtown to King Street.
Yeah, every day.
Yeah.
So 8 o'clock in the morning, you have to come over here for the classes. So you get up at 5:30 and then come. That's not a problem. You know, traveling is not an issue. You know, if you have to achieve something, if you want to go and learn.
This is just the way.
This is just the way. You know, you can't avoid it. The main problem, fundamental problem is, if you are coming independently for a college and you expect something, you're paying huge amount. You know, and you look around, there are lots of international students and the colleges are doing business from international students only. You domestic students, you will get really low level. Like out of 100, there will be 20 students are domestic and 80 students will be international.
Is that a fact?
It's a fact.
In your classes?
In my class also.
You're seeing like
many international.
Overwhelming
Chinese,
majority of.
Chinese, Philippines, then Indians.
Yeah.
What was the country? Vietnam. These people come over here with an expectation that you're going to learn something. And in order to concentrate on learning, you have to deal with the other problems. When you come over here, you will see, okay, this is what it is. And you can't change about anything, like what the situation is, right? You have to fight and you have to go. All right, everyone does that. But when you have resources, why don't colleges provide the resources to the students?
What kind of resources would make a difference for you?
It will be, for the main reason is looking around for the place. This is the most tough thing. Hunting down an apartment.
Yeah.
You don't know Craigslist, you don't know Kijiji when you come first in Canada. I started like this. Do you have any roommate? Do you want me my roommate?
Right.
Okay. Can we hire and rent an apartment or something like that? From that King Street, I reached at Don Mills. I was hunting. I was literally in last year when I come over here, it was snowing. It was hell. You have to struggle.
All right. It sounds like a difficult experience. It's certainly harder than anything I've ever had to do. But it doesn't sound that different than the typical Canadian immigrant experience. It's not that different than what my grandparents had to do.
Yeah.
Except for a couple of fundamental differences, which is A, they didn't pay some Canadian institution a fortune to be here. And B, once they were here, they were here. They lived here. They were residents working towards citizenship and they were allowed to work. They had permits instantly, which does not seem to be the case with you. Are you able to work? Is that working out?
Yeah, it's working out. I got a co-op in Turtle Jack's, which is located at Richmond Hill.
Turtle Jack's, the chain restaurant.
Yeah, and I'm going to start working from 6th.
Is that part of the program? It's a co-op placement?
Yes, it's a co-op.
So in a co-op placement from your college, are those paid?
Well, there is another issue now. I mentioned this thing. I asked this question in Toronto Board of Trade Region meeting. Now, Lambton College, I will mention this name specifically. Why? Because Lambton College is offering same kind of a co-op, right? But they are getting paid outside Ontario. The students have gone over there. They got co-op in Alberta, Calgary, BC, Vancouver, and they are getting paid outside Ontario, not in Ontario. So that was also a question which raised by me.
You were representing George Brown.
I was representing George Brown at that meeting.
At the
Toronto Board Trade Region meeting.
The Board of Trade. And you're saying that interns who work in Alberta in food and beverage, they get paid.
They get paid.
But not here.
Not here. And intern is going from here to Alberta.
So here you're interning at Turtle Jack's. Where are other international students interning?
Like Jack Astor's. Then you have other restaurants like Bohemia, Mid Bistro at Yorkville, everything.
That's crazy, man. I mean, you're telling me that people are coming from India, from Vietnam, from China. They're spending, must be something like $25,000, $30,000 when you add it all up.
More than that, because groceries and you add everything.
To work unpaid.
Unpaid.
At Jack Astor's.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
What you will do, tell me. That's why people are doing illegal jobs now. Now, this is another story which I am listening. I have a roommate. I will not expose his name because it's kind of illegal. I have a roommate who's working 14 hours a day. He is going to college from 9 to 12. 1 o'clock he comes at home, he has his lunch, and then he goes out, comes in the nighttime, I don't know when.
What does he do?
He works at the factory in Markham.
And he's an international student?
And he's an international student. And there are many like this, many.
What kind of a factory is it?
Like beer processing factories, the caps, then, you know, the Snicker chocolates?
Yeah.
They wrap it up, the wrappers that they put it up, that kind of work. That kind of work is happening. It's everything is happening. just behind closed eyes.
Yeah, my eyes were certainly close to it. I guess I just mentally put the struggle of new Canadians in a separate category from the international students who you see in every post-secondary institution in Canada. I didn't think they were having the same kind of experience. I imagine that also happens in your industry, in the restaurant business, under the table employment of international students.
Yeah, it is happening in restaurant too. In downtown, it's happening. Lots of my Chinese friends are there who are working in Chinese restaurants. Because I am Chinese, you're Chinese, you come to me, you say, I'm a student, I need to get a job, but I don't have a permit to work, right? So you will say, okay, fine, normally we offer 10.25 for a student with a permit, I'll give you 8. How about that? 8 an hour, okay, fine, I'll work.
Because some international students do have work permits.
Even I have work permit.
Yeah.
But only after 6 months you can work.
Uh-huh.
That's another story now. So if you come over here, you have to get 2.1 GPA minimum to apply for off-campus work permit. And then you get the work permit after 1.5 months. That's also a 45 to 90 days process. So for 7 months, you're offline.
Yeah.
You're not working anywhere.
And if you're working under the table, if something happens to you on the job...
That's not employer's responsibility.
Uh-huh.
So under HR regulations, human resource regulations, if something happens to you, if you fall down, if you have any injuries... If you're working in a factory and something happens to you, it's your responsibility.
Yeah.
They will just keep their hands in there and say, okay, bye-bye.
When you're doing your co-op placement and your peers are doing their co-op placements, they're paying tuition during that period.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're not getting paid. So they're paying money to work at Jack
even,
Astor's.
Even,
at the hotels. And
now, in this duration also, for the fourth semester my co-op is going on, I'm not going to attend college anyway. Like, I'm working for 25 hours a week. There is no tuitions. Like, there are no classes happening. Still, we are paying fees.
Yeah.
For the fourth sem. For what?
Uh-huh.
Nothing. I mean, I don't understand this whole concept. Okay, you're not coming to college. You're not using college services. Why you are paying?
Well, why are you paying?
If I stop, they will kick me out.
Uh-huh. What happens when you graduate? Are you going to be able to work here afterwards?
Yes, yes. You get 3 years work permit. Your academics is good. Everything is perfect. And then you can apply for work permit. Employer has to sign. And he will issue an appointment letter. Then you go to CIC, Canada Services. They will issue a work permit for 3 years. You can work for 3 years in this country so that you can build the foundation for your status like immigrant or PR, whatever you're going to apply for.
A PR, that's a permanent residency.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's a long process.
It's a 5 years process.
Yeah.
It's a difficult 5 year tough process. But first, I believe first 6-7 months is the toughest one. Because you don't know anyone. Imagine you're like in the forest, lost.
Yeah.
There are two sides of a coin, you know. You cannot deny that for a fact. There is a good thing, there is a bad thing. So it's tough. Its experience is tough. Everything is tough. You have to make your own choices sometimes. You cannot just run away from all these things. These are the problems which you cannot solve in like... snap. No, it doesn't happen like that.
And it's not so much, I think there are a lot of people who would say like, well, you're not a Canadian citizen. What do we owe you? You know, but you are paying.
Taxes. That's another. Now,
You're paying the institution.
Yeah.
And you're paying taxes.
Everything.
Yeah.
And now the insurance, what they're offering. This is another whole, a bunch of story. I never used it. I never needed it. But last 2 weeks before, I fell down and I broke my tailbone.
Uh-huh.
So it was a hair crack in tailbone. So now what is the procedure that you have to go and pay first and then you claim budget?
You have to pay for your medical expenses out of your pocket.
Right.
And then you can claim against insurance that, I mean, you're not covered under OHIP. So
no.
You're paying your own medical insurance while you're here as well.
Exactly. I was not able to walk. So I called the ambulance, $340
uh-huh.
if you call an ambulance. Then you go to the hospital and then you have to pay before you get even treatment. I was in grave pain. I was not in my senses, and there was nobody with me. One of my friend came late, so he paid the bills, and I was sitting over there on a wheelchair, and I was not able to sit. I told them, I'm not able to sit. Give me something, Advil, morphine, something like that.
Yeah.
And they are like, no, we cannot give you any kind of medication before you sign the form, and then and only then we will treat you.
They wouldn't give any pills until you sign
nothing.
The form. How much is it costing you per year to be here total? Have you figured that out?
Including rent and stuff like that, all the college and tuition fees, it's more than 30,000.
Uh-huh.
More than 30.
So what's going to have to happen for it to be worth it for you in the long run?
The main motive why people come over here is to get a PR card. You know, at least for me.
A permanent resident card. Yeah.
You have to be, because Canada is offering everything for a citizen. You know? You have lots of benefits you get. So back home, you get benefits. It's not like that you don't get benefits.
Yeah.
But my main motive is to settle down over here first. And secondly, to improve the industry that I'm working for. Because as you, the main motive behind you starting Canada Land was to focus the media and to change something, bring some revolution in your industry, right? That was your focus. So the main focus behind me coming here, starting Food Toronto, working for the guy who I met, I want to improve the standards.
Yeah.
I have seen it and I don't like it, what I do. And it's my passion. If you say something, yeah, this is wrong. And if I go there and try to improve it, just saying is easy. Just go and try improve it.
It's so intense what you're describing, Avinash, and it's I think it's not something that people can ignore because like we need you.
Yeah.
We need international students. Our universities, our colleges, I think they would collapse without that income. And you can't take people's money like that and ignore what their actual expectations are and whether or not that's compatible with reality and understand that you can't get your work permit for 7 months. You're forcing people into dangerous, under-the-table employment. It's just a very vulnerable population I hadn't really considered. I always thought just a lot of kids taking advantage of our wonderful schools who come from affluent backgrounds and, you know, take that education back home with them. It's not what you're telling me. That's not what's in my head, and I've been looking at the headlines of how international students in Canada are covered since I got your email, and what you're telling me is not the story that's getting told.
It's hidden. Everything is hidden. You know, it's in the black box,
You
can say. And if you are in the situation, you go inside that box and you stay there for a long, long time because your employer doesn't pay you. You know, he will pay whenever he wants to. It's not like month to month or biweekly you get salary. Like it's not like that in this business.
You're at their mercy.
You're at their mercy. They will pay. If you go and ask for the money, they will say, okay, come back later. I'll pay it to you. Like we have done shitty things. This is an industry where you have to, see the glamour from outside. But from inside, it's all dirty.
Yeah, you got to make your bones.
It's not about the hard work, you know. It's not about the physical work. It's about the mental tension that you get every day.
I got to tell you, though, it's so funny. If working as like a barback at Jack Astor's or the Keg is something that like a Canadian kid will do like work during their summers back from college. And you're talking about like coming over paying $30,000 a year.
And then working
studying
as a barback.
And not getting paid for it.
And on the letter also itself. Now, I expect something from colleges also, you know. The cover letter which they give it to us, it is mentioned that the position is unpaid.
Yeah.
Now that cover letter you take to your employer, he will see, and if you have an off-campus work permit, then also he will give your co-op as an unpaid because it's mentioned on the letterhead of the George Brown that it is unpaid position.
George Brown is telling future employers that you'll work for free.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That is what I can show you my cover letter. I'll scan it to you and send it to you. It's unpaid. When I saw it, it was like, oh, what is this? Are they making kind of a joke or something?
I mean, they have to know. Like, George Brown can't pretend that you're here working under those conditions and spending all that money to learn how to make a mojito. I mean, they have to know that students like you are trying to get a foot in the door to actually find gainful employment and live and work here. I mean, you think that part of the package that they're offering you would be to try to expedite that and they're your partner in that.
Exactly. I don't complain about the professors over here. They will help you out. You email them whatever problems, you will get an response within 2 hours.
Yeah.
That is how they efficient they are. I don't complain about the professor. I complain about the system. You know?
So what could change with the system?
System is like, see, you are running your whole, film on the basis of international student. Right?
Yeah.
University of Toronto is charging $40,000 for one semester. $40,000 Canadian dollars. Can you imagine? It's like 5-10 times multiplied by something in other countries.
Yeah. Yeah.
So people are paying that money.
I paid, I think, something like $3,000 a semester when I went to university.
Wow, you see.
Yeah.
This is much huge chunk of money is going from my pocket, from everyone's pocket. And this is the dark side of the, you know, the story. And the positive side is when I was in India, when I thought about applying, I saw every beautiful things like, you know, the things which you see in Friends or other TV series, like it's a college life. Yeah, you go rent a locker. You know, this is what I saw it.
They had the photos of the people with different colored skins all smiling together and hanging out on campus.
Yeah, hanging out and then sitting, studying, chatting
right,
and
right,
stuff.
Right.
Oh, man. When I came here, it's like, come on, this is not what I saw.
One concern in my field with the journalism schools mm-hmm. is that they are graduating an exponentially higher number of students into the field than there are jobs for.
Mm-hmm.
What happens in your field?
It's like a rat race.
Yeah.
You know, you open the gates of cage and all rats run for the cheats.
Mm-hmm.
This is what happens. Not everyone gets the job.
Yeah.
Half of them go home back because they are not getting a job. I have a friend who is Korean and I know him from a long time. He's in my batch. So his name is Kenny. Because of him, I got introduced to the Korean culture.
Yeah.
So he's also trying to go back home and his friends are also saying like, yeah, we'll go back home again. So let's say 30% is gone. Now, remain 70%. Now, in that 70%, your academic score is less. You don't get jobs. You start working in McDonald's and stuff like that. And then you eventually grow up and become a floor, like a store manager or something. Then you can apply for the PR. Next of the people, for example, girls, they get easily jobs. So if you're good looking, you're smart, you can talk.
Front of the house.
Front of the house. Done. Yeah. Boom. Hired.
Hostesses.
Yeah, hostesses. Waitresses. Then waitresses. Then people who are interested in the kitchen, they get hired, not in Ontario. I have seen like people trying to get a kitchen job, like they want to work in kitchen food production, but they don't get it. So they go to Alberta, Yukon, states like where people are demanding, like they are demanding people. They want people to work for their companies.
Yeah.
So people will spread out over there. So rest of the people who are working, who try to work in the bartending industry, who wants to be in beverage industry, they have number of choices over here. You can start working in Jack Astor's. Anyway, you will get hourly statement over here. So you get 20 hours a week or 25 hours a week, depending upon the situation. Like in winters, you don't get much. In summers, you get lots of hours to cover.
Yeah.
So it's like rat race. You know, everyone is running for the
job. Talking about the hours, not from a money point of view, but you need to work a certain amount of hours to get your permanent residency?
It is there. It is there. I don't remember the exact figure. It's something 1,064 or something.
Uh-huh.
960 or 1,064 hours you have to work. Then and your minimum wage in that particular duration has to be more than $20.
More than $20?
More than $20.
So yeah. You're at the mercy of some manager at a chain restaurant as to whether or not this exactly. The whole expense, the whole expenditure and years of your life was worth it, because ultimately if your goal is permanent residency in Canada, then that's going to be a determining
your
factor.
Your minimum salary has to be around $3,500 Canadian dollars per month.
Uh-huh.
Then only you can apply, and that for 960 hours you have to be on that position. You don't have to be changing jobs or
yeah. For
like that.
960 hours, you have to have the same job in the restaurant business. It's a shaky business, right? I mean, you might have to get a different restaurant job through no fault of your own. It's quite a gamble.
It is a gamble. It is a. You see on Dundas, you will see a restaurant opening. Within 6 months, that restaurant is gone.
Yeah.
Where did it go? How it happened? No one knows about it.
Yeah.
Media is not covering. Nothing is happening because these are small restaurants, small chains. You know, you have 2-3 restaurants. You are an entrepreneur. You are a restaurant tour operator. Now what happens to you? You're bankrupt. What do you do next? Nothing. You go home.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye, Canada.
Right. And that's the situation you're in. That's the pressures that you exist under. Getting up at 5:30, your studies, this job, uncertain future. And in the midst of that, you get involved with Toronto's social media foodie scene, launching this Food Toronto thing on Instagram, and you got thousands of followers and restaurants are coming to you looking for coverage.
Whole experience behind Food Toronto was to get in touch with the owners of the restaurant. Now what they're doing is they are sending me emails and telling me that you promote our dish in your food profile, we will give you food vouchers, arrange something that is you know, a kind of a competition like, and we will give you the some kind of reward. I don't know what that reward means. You know, is it a cash reward or is it a voucher or coupon or something like that? They're trying to promote because people are watching, you know. If I say something over there against Oliver Bonuccini Jump Restaurant, people are not going to go there. I have a huge army of people, like 7,000 people are watching by my words. You know, what me and Murat is saying, they're watching it.
Welcome to the media business, and they're offering you free burgers if you'll. They're offering you payola if you'll promote their dish.
I don't want to do that. Come on, have you been to Oliver? You have been. You must have been to ONB.
To an Oliver and Balcaccini restaurant.
Yeah, many times. Like you've been to many times. I didn't like at all.
Yeah,
their food is shit. I don't scare. I don't fear about saying this in open public media.
Yeah,
because it is shit. I mean, What do you get? Tuna fish, like this small portion, the portion size is not regulated, nothing else.
Yeah.
Go to ONB, you just go look, okay, trendy waitresses is coming.
Yeah, that's ONB.
There is another profile. I don't know if they're listening or not. There's another profile, Taste Toronto. Let me take the name. Okay, fine.
Okay.
So these people were trying to nudge us down in the beginning.
Taste Toronto, you're the competition.
See, Instagram and social media, Twitter, you can pay and you get followers, right? There are some websites where you pay and you get followers.
Yeah.
So there are some websites.
Yeah, you pay for fake, for box.
Fake, for box, yes. So you open their profile and you check any of the profile member. Most of them are fake.
Yeah.
And with us, I don't want to defeat them or something because we are doing an honest job.
Yeah.
Right? I am not paying to any website to get me followers. If I want to do that, I can pay $5, I get 10,000 followers.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean anything because they are not active.
Right.
Right. So it's
you're trying to earn real people.
Right, right. Someone has to be commenting there. Someone has to be criticizing the
okay.
food. Okay. So that
is
saying
that Taste Toronto has fake followers?
Yeah, you can check it out. I mean, it's...
All right.
Yeah, you can check it out. So this is what I'm trying to do. And my main motive and Murat's main motive was to start this profile and to get to know the people around. First motive was that. Second motive, now our main motive is to hunt down the best restaurants because they are not getting promoted.
Yeah.
You know, you have to pay a huge chunk of money to get your advertise up and running in Block TO.
It looks like you're doing food journalism and you're trying
kind of, yeah.
You're trying to do credible food journalism where if they get positive coverage from you, it's because they earned it.
Yeah, definitely. You can put it in this way, yeah.
And then you got to figure out how to make money off that, which...
I will think about it. And if you have any ideas, let's talk about this after the recording.
How did you find my podcast?
I listen to podcasts all the time.
Uh-huh.
So I was listening to one podcast and I was checking which podcast new coming up and store. I was checking the iTunes store.
Yeah.
And I saw Canada Land and I was like, okay, this is new. I have never seen something related to Canada before.
Yeah.
There are people who are talking, like Bugle is there. So the British people have their own podcast.
Yeah.
And Indian people have their own podcast too. We are doing pretty well. It's All India Bakchod, AIB. Mm-hmm. AIB podcast. And these people are also doing pretty great. And I was like, okay, there is no one from Canada who is doing podcasts related to Canadian market or issues or journalism, something. Something has to be there. So I was searching and I found you. It keeps me thinking. You're putting up the problems, especially I like the show which was related to wireless.
Right. I can't imagine what your cell phone bills must be like running your business in Mumbai from your iPhone.
No one wants to talk about the bad side of the part, you know. So I have seen people are really, really afraid, or I can say they are afraid of media because there are lots of rules and regulations and policies that stuff you say and stuff
well,
you put.
That's true, right? Because you're talking about like a few hundred thousand people who are here and they're putting their, you know, some of them their life savings on the line to be here. They have every hope invested in staying here and they're disenfranchised. Like it's hard to like actually criticize or point out problems when you're kind of like you could get kicked out at any point in time.
Yeah. Whole story is a gamble.
Yeah.
And one more point. You cannot visit your country when you are in that 960 hours duration. So if something happens to your family,
uh-huh.
you cannot go back.
Uh-huh.
If you go back, you have to start again. Your hours will start counting again. The clock resets.
It seems like you have a lot of hoops to jump through, Avinash, to get where you're trying to go. Good luck.
Well, thank you. That's all I can say.
Wow. Okay. That's your show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. Email me, please, with more story ideas of things I should be covering on this show at jesse@jessebrown.ca. I'm on Twitter @jessebrown. The website is canadalandshow.com. That's where I put up the videos, and there's a new one up there now. I make this show with help from Tanara Yelland. There will be a new episode up on Monday. If you like this show, recommend it. Hey, I need you to pay close attention to this message. It is not an ad. This is about Canada Land, and this is about you. You need to know that the news crisis is about to get a lot worse. You've heard about the layoffs. We're about to have news closures, and it's very likely that we're going to be seeing the defunding of the CBC. Where are you going to get your information from? What can you do about this? You can support Canada Land. We need you to. And so for this month and this month only, you can become a Canada Land supporter and get everything our supporters get for just $2 a month. That is an almost 80% discount. The clock is ticking on this.
It disappears at the end of the month, and then we will not offer it. We need your support. We need to keep news coverage alive in Canada. Go right now to canadaland.com/join. And thank you.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.